welcome to A Galaxy Not So Far Away, a Mysterious Galaxy podcast. I'm your host, Becca.
And I'm Gary.
And today we have with us Michelle.
Hello.
Again.
Hi.
I'm so happy that we've just had recurring guest Michelle for like the last batch of Thursday episodes. It's always delightful to have you.
Michelle is our social media person.
I'm always part of the internet.
Social media.
Definitely. Definitely.
Also, sorry I sounded so like robotic when I said the intro. I thought I was going to sneeze. Oh my goodness.
No worries.
Thank you everyone for being here with us. Today we are going to be taking our second swing, a 2.0 episode, if you will, at adaptations.
Yeah. I feel like this is going to be one of those things that's going to be like a recurring topic every 6 months or so, because there's constantly going to get new adaptations of books and comics and stuff in the media, like forever. So
the way that capitalism loves to chew up and spit out media over and over again, like, yeah, we'll be seeing new stuff till the end of time.
Yeah. So we put together a bunch of trailers for things that are coming up between now and the end of the year, I think, for all of them. I don't think I put any 2022 stuff on the list.
Yeah, I didn't either. I mostly did stuff from earlier this year, like I would say from like June/July to now and then through the end of the year, just because I figured we could talk a little bit about a lot of the TV show adaptation stuff that
we've been watching
over the past year, because there's been a lot.
There's been so much. I don't even know where we should start. Where do we want to begin?
Michelle, where would you like to start? You're the guest.
Let's start with The Witcher Season 2.
Okay. I'm very excited for Season 2.
I'm very excited for this.
Becca, did you watch Season 1 of The Witcher?
You guys don't like my opinion about this.
That's fair.
Because I hate Henry Cavill as... I'm sorry, like, dude, he's a former fat person that has, like, said some, like, not great stuff about... fat people and being fat, and like that's a super super common thing for like people after they lose weight. So I have a couple problems with his attitude and like the way he talks about stuff. However, I really do have to say props to him, because I own the contacts that he's wearing in the trailer.
Yeah,
and you can't see anything through those.
Yeah.
It's what he's in like, them almost, all the time.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to like it literally makes everything like neon yellow, like in front of your eye. Like it's so hard to make out shapes and stuff.
Yeah.
So the fact that he is like performing like so well and so believably, like I do think he's pretty damn talented. And so is the actress who's opposite of him. Tell me, what is her deal? I like her.
She's fantastic. She is, we meet her in Season 1. She is the descendant of royalty. Yes. And
are they like together?
No.
Okay, because the way she says like that she's her his destiny, I was like, I don't think this is romantic. Like, I don't know anything about The Witcher, but yeah, it seems like she looks like his kid.
She saved the life. Yeah. Geralt saved the life of her parents, and through the way that like deals with royalty and like nobles in this world work, like for whatever reason he's I don't remember the like exact way that this pans out, he like is his destiny becomes tied to their firstborn child who is her. She's like born after years after this happens. So their destinies are intertwined, and he wants nothing to do with it, right? Like, he goes and just lives his life, and then war comes to where she's there from.
And then, like, war happens?
Yeah, like, her hometown gets, like, destroyed, and they're after her because she has this rare magic talent that comes from her mother's line, and he...
It's too much.
Goes
it's
to save much. Her, kind of
it's
thing.
It's too much. Okay, yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
So pretty much she was about to be slaughtered, killed, murdered.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And because of things that her parents did in everything, the pieces and the people were in the right place at the right time, aka
I can accept that.
So then they let him escape instead of let him stay and save everyone, which he was probably going to be the only one who could technically save everyone, and instead saves her. And then they're on the run from people, things, races.
Yep.
And instead of her being this damsel in distress, he then helps her become something else, something better, something able to protect herself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first season is really like, I don't want to call it an anthology thing, but it doesn't take place in like linear order. We kind of jump around at different points in Geralt's life as he's being a witcher and doing that work of like being a monster hunter for hire, basically. But this one, I think we're getting into like the story proper. Yes. The first book, Blood of Elves, he takes her to Kaer Morhen, in the place where he was trained to be a witcher. And like they train her to like fight and defend herself and like touch the side of magic that she possesses that she hasn't learned to use before.
That's enough.
Cool stuff. Big epic fantasy.
But I like
so much information.
The change of production from first season to this trailer itself, like just the quality, the cinematography.
It looks a lot. I want to say that like his lace front was really good the first season, but it is even better in this trailer. Like the budget went up.
Yeah, definitely. And like he to this project is like Favreau to The Mandalorian or even the Marvel universe. Like he is invested because he is a fan of not just the games but the books, and I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, it really comes through when you have like a lead in a project who is like passionate about the source material.
Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that on the note of just like folks who are really passionate about the work they do, let's just do a little Marvel / DC corner because there is so much stuff. Like, I'm just going to list everything and then we can like talk about some of it.
Definitely.
So from Marvel, we have, and like I said, I'm going from like summer forward. So, you know, we have the Black Widow movie, the Loki series, the What If series, I didn't watch the Bucky series, but Falcon Winter Soldier. Thank you. We just got Shang-Chi, and then the Hawkeye trailer dropped recently.
Yeah.
We have Eternals. The Star Wars anime adaptation coming out.
Yeah, like, Visions will be tomorrow? Out by the time yesterday.
Okay.
By the time people hear this, it'll have been yesterday.
Good Lord.
Oh my goodness. What did you say, Michelle? I didn't realize. The Eternals?
It's next week.
Yeah, the Eternals.
Oh yeah, Eternals is coming.
I keep forgetting is happening because I think the Eternals
disconnected and connected at the same time.
Let me finish the list. Okay, because I have the DC stuff. Because it's much shorter. So that's all not to mention all of the Star Wars comics that fall under the like Marvel adaptation umbrella, since that's all happening. But from DC, we have the Suicide Squad movie, the Harley Quinn comic that's being made by DC right now that is an adaptation of the HBO cartoon. And then just recently debuted, I believe in the last couple weeks, is the webtoon Bat Family series, which is like a slice of life comedy series about Bruce and the Bat kids.
Oh, that's cute.
We're going to get into it. And then the last one is Why the Last Man. I mean, we're going to get into it in like a good way. I'm very excited about Bat Family. but that's all of that stuff.
So many things.
So many things.
Michelle, I know you and I have probably seen all of the... Becca, have you seen Shang-Chi yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, we're all, I think we're all caught up.
Michelle and I saw it at the same time.
In the same place.
I didn't know that we were in the same place.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to see it last weekend, and I really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, we're going to just put a spoiler thing at the top of the episode, I think, because, I mean, for adaptation stuff, it's all going to be spoilers, man.
Yeah. Yes,
like, we're only talking about stuff that, like, we personally picked out, so...
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the Shang-Chi movie was really pretty good. I thought it was really interesting. I've been listening to a lot of people that are far more educated than myself on the topic about like why the Chinese audience doesn't like it and like why it hasn't gotten a release date there versus why the Chinese American audience really likes it. And something that I found out is that the lead, what is his name?
Simu Liu.
Yeah.
Yeah, Simu Liu said that this movie is a gift to China.
Oh.
And, like, I mean, I genuinely don't think he meant anything bad by it. Like, I genuinely think that he, like, meant that in a very loving way. But, like the Chinese people that, like, are talking about this that I'm, like, you know, listening to, especially on TikTok right now, we'll try to link some of those below, just for, you know, context sake, have been discussing that, like, you know, a lot of the stuff in it is very, like, it only works for people that grew up as, like, Chinese Americans because they're, like, it's not about, like, Chinese ideals and stuff like that.
Yes.
Like, that's the complaint. It's not about...
Yeah.
Michelle, do you want to talk more, like, about this? Because I hear you saying yes. Like, chime in.
There is a lot of, you know, culture, backstory, even within the martial arts aspect of the movie or even the legends and everything and the lore that is tied in into Shang-Chi and even the Ten Rings in itself. And
yes,
while a lot of great things were introduced, a lot of people possibly from China could, like, one could say that it's not authentic enough. But then, granted, this is also one of the first movies in this topic or even in this subculture that is introduced in mainstream and it's also Marvel. It's also the movies in 2021.
Honestly, I was going to say, I think that it is pretty mainstream, right? Like, it's... I think that the interesting thing is that, like, the context that I think is being missed in a lot of the discussion is the source material, right? Like,
yes.
There are a lot of problems with the Shang-Chi comics and, like,
yes.
Their, like, history of racism and, you know, misuse of the culture. So, like... I think because that context is not, like, very well managed with this film release, like,
right.
Of course people are upset because you're selling it as, like, real Chinese culture in a film.
Right.
That's, like,
right.
You know, made into a fantasy thing rather than just, like, fake shit.
Right. Like, I agree. The comics itself, they weren't the best. They also probably were not the most popular for this topic or even this era or even, you know, like,
oh yeah, I mean, the creators had to really,
right,
there was a big issue with, like, the colorists, like, not doing justice by the creators, you know, like, skin tone for the character. So there was, you know, a lot of discussion about, like, what he looked like and
right.
If he was Asian.
But I think the homage that they had, for example, everything that was told in the past, that it was told in the way of, you know, early martial art films where
yeah.
Everything was subtitled. Everything had, you know, really, I think, authentic music or soundtrack or even the martial arts itself and the way that they fought or even choreographed everything in the, at least in the first parts of the movie. I thought that was a great homage. I'm glad
yeah,
they didn't,
I thought...
you know, and I'm sorry if I'm going to be unpopular opinion, but I'm glad they did not Mulan it. And, you know, and they didn't make
wait, it. Wait, Michelle, you cut out.
Oh, hello?
You said unpopular opinion, and then I did not hear your unpopular
yeah.
opinion, and I'm so
sorry.
Excited.
And I'm glad they did not do the same thing that it did with Mulan.
I agree. So, like, I think the whole problem is that, like, the way it's being marketed to China is that it's like a Chinese movie, right? And like, so because it's not being marketed as a Chinese American thing, and therefore like something that isn't actual, like it's like an adaptation in itself, right, of the culture by right. like through yeah. Like through migration, like as but we also move different places, our like cultures change and stuff. And so like I think because of the context of like this is a movie for you guys about China, that like it is so hard for them to like accept it. Like I really don't know.
But if it's I also gonna get a think that that marketing people with when it comes to these types of movies, specifically the Marvel movies, that they're trying mm-hmm. to do something different or say this is special because or asterisk oh, yeah. reason below, like they need to stop with that, especially
yeah.
when they're yeah. trying to hype up something in this manner, because it's just always going to be taken wrong no matter what.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I think is really interesting is that and this is really the last thing I wanted to talk about is the big issue also that Chinese audiences have is that Simi looks like your average Chinese man, and like somebody was discussing that like for other countries, like pop culture is very like it's an outlet in a different way sometimes.
Yeah.
And so like for Chinese audiences, they are not interested in seeing themselves. They're not interested in seeing like the average Joe on screen. And like, right. and obviously I mean like in a like large statistic, not like everyone there, that would be ridiculous to say. But like, so like the ideal, like, you know, beauty standard for like men is like very like slim face, very defined mm-hmm. jawline, very pale, mm-hmm. large eyes. And like, that is not what he looks like. And so there has no. also been a lot of upsetness about that.
Yes. I mean, Simu Liu, when he started training for this, I mean, he ended up looking like Captain America body, you know,
yeah.
like when you watch Chinese drama, they don't look like that. Those actors, no. they do yeah. not look like that whatsoever.
I think it's so like, I think it's really interesting just like the disconnect that we all like can have about like each other's like, you know, world, like what your like day to day world looks like. I think Americans especially have a hard time understanding that like even something that is as small as like pop culture in our eyes is like not consumed the same way in every other country, like mm-hmm. they right. don't want the same things that we do. And I think as long as we continue like marketing in that very like narrow-minded way, we're gonna see more issues like this.
Yeah, I definitely well agree. It's the internet.
But also
that's also true.
Like, long story short, I love the movie.
Yes,
you know, I have my issues with like Awkwafina and like with some of the other things, you know, but at the end of the day I did think it was like very well done, and I thought that it was important, and you know, and it is an important and necessary addition to this next wave of the Avengers, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
I'm really curious to see like where the Marvel Cinematic Universe is like building to with all of all these different movies that are coming out. We still don't really know anything about the Eternals movie, even though that's like a month or two away.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know about you guys, but to me, it feels like the Eternals film is being marketed at like Facebook, like fucking like moms. Like it just doesn't feel like it's being marketed towards the normal like comic movie audience.
Yeah,
it has
I wonder
a very,
if we're gonna
like,
get like
legal mature feel to it.
Yeah
I agree. I mean, but it could also be because of how the actors and actresses draw a specific demographic. You have, you know, the actor who plays Jon Snow, you have Angelina Jolie, you have Selma Hayek, you have a lot of great actors and actresses that are also in here. And
like big, respectable talent.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I think that that's the thing, right? Like, I don't necessarily think that this, like, I think it's an interesting and good move on their part to become more niche in their marketing of each thing. Because yeah. it's going to do good no matter what at this point, given their momentum.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, it'll do decent, right? Like, so
yeah, but they could yeah. like, but I'm sorry to interrupt, I could also think that they could market things differently per demographic. you could show different clips and make it more Instagram yeah. friendly or even TikTok.
Oh, I think we'll get another full trailer before.
I mean, honestly, I've seen 3 different trailers for it and none of them are doing it for me.
Yeah.
But it could be like, also because they have content that we don't know about yet or they can't yeah. reveal yet. Yeah. What if it's like a, you know, Spider-Man, you can't really say much until Loki happened type of thing, you know?
Oh, man, I yeah. didn't even mention that. Wait, that comes out next year, right?
No, that's this year. This that's year. Next?
Shit.
Is
yeah.
it this?
Yeah.
Spider-Man is also coming out this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I forgot to add that to the list.
That's December 17th.
But Jesus. I think that's the same thing. Like, I think they have to tease it because it's, you know, big names, but it's probably like...
Can I be
like,
honest with you guys?
Hmm.
I don't think that doing the multiverse thing with Spider-Man is a good move. I think it's a really stupid idea, and I don't think the movie's necessarily going to be good.
Like, fascinated to see what happens.
It really feels like they are just desperate to get that momentum that they got from Into the Spider-Verse again. And like, they are willing to just do the same thing again and see if it works. And like, I mean, I know it's going to work, right? Because like, people.
Well, it's so curious, right? Things, because Into the Spider-Verse is very much like a Sony production. And this is Marvel being like, oh, well, that worked over there. Like, let's
they are so
bring
jealous.
Our people back.
Yeah. And like, in my opinion, Marvel has always been very guilty of not doing a necessarily great job bringing in the comic elements to the screen. And yeah. like, that was something that Into the Spider-Verse revolutionized. And so
I wonder if this movie is going to introduce Miles Morales.
No, they can't.
They can't?
I don't think they can introduce Miles Morales in this.
I don't think he's a part of the package.
Universe. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, like, I don't know how
the reason Spider-Man wasn't part of it for so long is because, like, I'm pretty sure
Sony has the Spider-Man rights, but I don't know that Sony has Miles. I mean, they had Into the Spider-Verse, so I guess that they do because he's Spider-Man.
David said, I heard David furiously typing behind me, and cool. So welcome to David's Correction Corner. He said,
"Thank you, David."
They would likely be able to introduce Miles.
Nice.
Oh,
I think that'd be cool.
Interesting.
I'm so curious to see what's going to happen. Yeah, and like how the effects of it are going
to
be.
I want it to be good. Don't get me wrong. Like, I desperately want this to be good. However, it does feel like a nostalgia pander to the max. And sure. I'm worried that because they shelled out so much to get so many people in it, that like, I'm worried that the writing is going to fall through.
Mm.
Also, it seems like they're literally bringing in like 20 plus villains.
There's so many elements to fit within a two and a half hour movie. Like,
right? Yeah.
It feels a lot, but what if they're just hyping it up and it, you know, in theory, they're just going to show them for 2 seconds. I mean,
that's probably how it's going to happen.
Okay, more context. David said that Sony does have the rights to Spider-Man, generally speaking, and that is why they're the ones putting out like Venom and Morbius, whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But as long as Marvel and Sony continue to have this agreement in the works, you know, where they get to like sort of like rent the Spider-Man characters, they can use characters across the agreement.
Interesting.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I was just like scrolling back through the other Spider-Man movies, and they're it's the same director, John Watts.
Yeah.
But it's not the same writing team from the first film. It's the guys who wrote Far From Home, which I also thought was like, I think Homecoming was the best of the two so far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So we'll see. I'm like optimistic because I love Spider-Man as a character, but I don't know what to expect from this film.
Have you both been watching the What If series?
I'm not caught up.
I haven't seen this week's episode.
Yeah,
what
same.
Was this week's episode?
I don't remember.
I don't know. Whatever came after the zombie episode.
Yeah.
Zombie was last week.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, by the time people are hearing this, you're right.
Yes, jeez. Sorry. this week's episode was a Killmonger episode.
Oh, is this the one where Oh, doesn't he save Tony Stark? Yes. Is that the trailer thing? Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay.
Cool.
I largely have really been enjoying it. I think that they're doing like a really good job sort of like twisting and adapting it to fit into the MCU in a way that actually makes sense, because the stories aren't, you know, obviously like they're different a little bit. Especially like I was talking to both of you, I believe, about the zombie one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just really quick, friends listening at home, graphic content warning for like zombie stuff. So if you don't want to hear that, just skip ahead, maybe like a minute or two. But yeah, so for those of you that have stuck around, in the comic What If series for the zombie ones, there is actually a point where like, okay, so let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. The zombies keep their sentience and are still able to talk and like communicate. And like, they also have their powers, full powers. The only difference is that they have, you know, this virus that causes a uncontrollable, insatiable urge to eat people. And so in that one, Peter actually goes to warn Mary Jane and Aunt May about, you know, what's going on. And in the middle of it ends up like sob eating Mary Jane.
Horrible.
And then like Aunt May is able to get away and lock herself in the bathroom, but ultimately he does break down the door and eat her too.
Yikes.
And like the psychological horror of like watching that happen, knowing he knows what's happening and he physically can't stop himself even as a superhuman, like truly
that's
just
horrifying.
Like, I'm not surprised they didn't animate that, you know.
Yeah,
obviously. Mm-hmm. Like there would be a lot of like complications to making the animation, you know, work for the MCU Spider-Man, but I'm glad I didn't have to watch him like eat his aunt.
Yeah, same. I feel like in comics you can get away with a lot more graphic things than we're gonna see on Disney Plus.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry. David sent me a caption from it, and he's just like Spider-Man crying with his face in his hands. He's like, "I ate my wife, my aunt. Why did I do that?"
Oh no, buddy.
I'm sorry for laughing. And then just really quick, have both of you seen the Hawkeye trailer?
I have.
Not the new.
I'm looking forward to it. It looks fun.
Oh my gosh, Michelle, do you want us to? Let's take a pause so you can watch it really quick. Because
wait, did we watch this, Gary?
Didn't I make you watch this?
Oh,
did
yes.
We watch
okay, this together? No. Yes, you're right. I did watch it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So you have seen the Hawkeye trailer?
Yes. Gary makes me watch things in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah. When I usually come I in like, and I'm like, "Did you see there? The trailer for this? Let's watch this." And it's like 9:30,
so
like before we've even opened. Yeah.
David does the same thing. Like I'll wake up in the morning and I'll be like, "Oh my god, the trailer came out for this thing. Come here."
Yeah, yeah. This is Michelle and I in the morning sharing pop culture news.
Men just need to share trailers.
I put together a list of like 12 of them today for this.
So the Hawkeye trailer has me very excited. I'm just gonna like pull up like an article about it so I don't miss any of the stuff that I want to talk about.
Can we talk about the Steve Rogers musical?
I am so excited. They better give me, at bare minimum, 2 songs.
I know. I need them so bad.
Frick. Obviously, Hailee Steinfeld, who some of you might recognize from the Bumblebee movie. As the lead from that, she is Kate Bishop, and I can't think of a more perfect person to play.
Her energy in this trailer is fantastic.
She has the right amount of spunk for this character.
Yeah, like
yeah.
This era that we are moving into, the Young Avengers era, like that is where I actually got genuinely interested in Marvel stuff when I was first reading comics. Like I mostly read a lot of indie stuff, and then you know, I picked up Captain Marvel, and then I ended up picking up the Young Avengers, and yeah. So Kate, wonderful. also very cool. We got, God, what is, I'm trying to find the character's name so I don't mess it up. Because we got a new native character. Well, not new. Like, she's from the comics. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Echo. Oh, my God. Thank you, David. Echo. Did you hear him?
Yes.
So Echo is super cool because not only is she a disabled indigenous person with big queer energy, but is also being played by a person exactly like that.
Incredible.
Another fun little thing that we saw.
Sorry.
No.
Is she the one who appeared on Daredevil or in Daredevil?
I've never watched the Daredevil series. I'm sorry.
No, it might have been the comics. She wasn't in the Netflix.
Oh, in the comics?
I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Never mind.
No. You're totally right.
She is. In, okay.
End of Days.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
She's very cool.
The adopted daughter of Kingpin?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Spoilers.
Yes. Sorry. I just googled.
I'm so mad that you didn't know that, and now you're not going to get to learn it for the first time in the show.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I googled Echo.
Oh, the thing I was going to say is something that was small that we got in the trailer is Clint is wearing his earpiece, his like hearing aid.
Yeah.
So in comics, he has a hearing issue and like uses a hearing aid to help. And it was like one of the things that didn't get, you know, added in when he was introduced into the MCU. And I, among many other, you know, disabled fans, were pretty upset about that. Like, because it's a minor detail, but it means a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's important. Yeah. Yes. And I love the fact that they're making it into a, like, Christmas thing.
Yeah. Like, I'm very looking forward to it.
God, what is that movie that everyone says is a Christmas movie, even though it isn't?
Die Hard.
Die Hard?
This is going to be my Die Hard. Just so you guys
I think
know.
This one is more of a Christmas. This is a Christmas movie in a way that I don't think Die Hard is. Or Christmas show.
Yeah, but this one's like so action-packed, so I was saying... Like,
we'll see. I know what you mean.
What do you mean, we'll see?
But I mean, we haven't seen it yet. I don't know how heavily the like holiday stuff is going to lean in, right? Like,
oh, I'm sure
Die Hard is so tangentially Christmas.
I think the whole thing is in the week of Christmas.
Yeah. But I mean, like, Die Hard just happens to take place at a Christmas party.
I'm saying that, like, the Hawkeye show.
Yeah, I think Hawkeye's going to be way more Christmas, like, actually Christmassy.
Okay.
That's exciting. I want, like, a holiday series, because we haven't had any other MCU content that's tied to, like, a holiday in this way.
Fair enough. Thumbs up or down on the Black Widow film?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I had a good time with it. I don't know that I'll like revisit it, but I'm excited to see more of Florence Pugh's character,
yes.
Yelena, come back.
Yes.
I thought she was great.
She is great.
Yes. I wish this movie had come out after Civil War.
As a movie by itself.
It was supposed to.
It was good.
I know.
This movie has been supposed to come out for so long.
I know.
Since her first debut, they have been like, do you guys like want a movie about her? And then Scarlett Johansson ruined the character, so I couldn't even like enjoy the part that she plays. Like, but yeah, I wouldn't say that I had fun because like I knew the story going in because of the comics. Mm-hmm. And like I told David when we were sitting there getting ready for it to start after Shang-Chi, I was like, I think a lot of people probably did not enjoy this one because it doesn't fit the MCU mold. Like, there is no clear, like, winner at the end, right? Like, there is no, like, clear villain either. Everyone is sort of complicit in a different way or victimized in a different way. And, like, this type of story, like, yeah, you're right. It should have come out right after Civil War, because, you know, if we're going to discuss, like, really, okay, my biggest problem is that the MCU decided not to have Black Widow and Bucky, like, know each other at all.
Yeah.
Because, like, they literally, like, came up together in several interpretations. Yeah. And, like, I enjoy that because it allows for both of them to have this, like, space to explore the really terrible things that have happened to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In a way that, like, the movies just completely disservice.
Yeah, it's a shame.
And you already know that there's no happy ever after, even in an MCU version.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, they did the best they could, but, like,
mm-hmm.
You already know what's about to happen. Yeah.
And also, like, we already know that Black Widow's dead, so, like, there is no, like, I just didn't feel there was anything presented to us to make us give a shit about her character.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that you, oh, she's finally becoming human, she's finally opening up, and then all of a sudden, nope.
And I think that's such, like, ass. That's such ass to say, because she's been emotional several times throughout this universe. Like,
I mean, yes, and I'm just sorry, every that's time the that wrong she, way to say
no,
it.
No, it's not you. It's, like, honestly, that's how people phrase it, like, in the, like, reviews and stuff. Like, I don't, definitely not, like, a you thing. It makes sense that you would say that, because that's, like, how all of the reviews have been saying it. Like, this is her being emotional for the first time. Like, what are you talking about?
No.
Yeah.
Like, I think her connection with, God, what movie was it? Was it the second one? With Captain America is probably when you started seeing it.
Yeah.
That was Banner. What was first? Was it with Captain America?
No, she connected with Bruce Banner first because she was the one that was sent to find him.
Oh, okay, yes, S.H.I.E.L.D. You're right. I got the order of the movies wrong.
Yeah, and so, like, the thing that happened that, like, really shows, in my opinion, her first, like, genuine emotion is when she is scared that he could kill her and, like, has to pretend in that scene that she's not.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was very, very well, like, that's the thing that pisses me off about her. She's not a bad actress.
Yeah.
Just a bad person.
Do we want to, I know that we don't have, like, we don't have a lot of time left and we are still on Marvel.
I hate you, Marvel. Stop making shit, but also don't stop.
Because
I want to see.
We have a handful of other trailers. We have some big ones that are coming. Should we just start with Dune?
Yes.
That's the, like, most up, like, the, that one's next month. This is October 22nd. We get it's Denis Villeneuve's Dune. He also directed Arrival and Blade Runner 2049 for people who don't know his stuff, but this is the first part, right? It's not going to be the full novel. No. The first part of, what I guess would be my assumption is they're planning on doing two movies, but it depends on how well this one does in theaters first, if they get a second. So go see it if you're excited about Dune. This cast is incredible, and I'm very hyped for this story.
Same.
Have either of you guys read Dune?
Yes, long time ago.
I have problems with Dune.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude, it's literally just, I'm sorry, it's so much the colonization of America story. Like, there's so that much, there's, like, and I'm sorry, but, like, as, you know, someone who is part of the group that was getting killed.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It's not
like
my favorite.
I feel like a lot of science fiction, especially of the era that Frank Herbert was writing, was very deliberately, like, look at the, we're going to point and light on atrocities that have happened and, or, we're going to extrapolate outwards. Here's the thing, right? Like, you're completely right with Dune, and
like, I think,
and Foundation does the same thing.
Yeah, it was that conceit, right? Of, like, we're going to discuss it, but we are not brave enough to say what it is, so we have to make it as not on topic as possible, and never ask us if it is actually about that thing.
Right? Because, like, Foundation is the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. But it's a galactic empire. And so, like, I don't know. I don't think an excuse is that these writers like couching all their stuff behind metaphor and fiction.
But it's just one of those things, right? That like for me, it personally just will always grind my gears because at the end of the day, this is people making money off of the fictionalization of like my ancestor suffering.
That's understandable. Absolutely.
That being said,
I've only read the first book. Yeah.
Yes.
It's really hot.
His character, oh my gosh, he's Duke Leto. I keep forgetting that he's like playing Paul's dad.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Oh my god, and he was just killing it. He looks so great.
It was weird seeing Momoa kind of cleaned up in
I didn't recognize him at first.
He's Duncan Idaho. He's super cool.
But I can't wait for Zendaya as well.
Oh my gosh. She looks so stunning. Like, and obviously, like, you know what? My only complaint was that I just didn't like how she was talking in the beginning. Like, I don't like when the directors like have them talk in that very like airy mystical voice, you know.
Oh yeah, this is the opening sequence of the Lord of the Rings with Galadriel speaking like the history of the ring and the threat of Sauron returning, and
like I think that it's totally fine to like, you know, use the language that is there, right? But like, I don't know, don't make them force a weird,
I wonder if
like,
it's gonna I wonder if that's even gonna be something that's in the film or if it's something they did for the trailer.
I hope it's just for the trailer.
I do too, I think.
I was really excited for the whatchamacallit? Oh my god, the Green Knight trailer.
Oh yeah, Green Knight. Green Knight
isn't
was
that
very
technically
good.
The earliest because it's out now?
Yeah, yeah, you can go see it. It's in theaters now.
That trailer looks
This was
amazing.
Another one of those that, like, I think the first look of Green Knight that we got happened, like, a few months before pandemic.
I don't
And then it was just
remember.
Like, when is this movie ever going to happen?
I don't remember either.
Have you seen it, Michelle?
No, I have not.
I haven't seen it yet either. I know, Gary, you said you've seen it, right?
I did. I saw it last week and really enjoyed it.
Have you read the book?
I have not read the book. So like I knew like the bare bones of the myth and like how it ended, but I didn't know anything that was going to happen like in between. And my understanding after talking to Kelly is that like everything that happens in the middle of that is just completely different in the book than it is on the screen.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah. They're just telling it like he has different trials in the film.
What did she say? Did she prefer a book or movie better?
I think Kelly preferred the book because they do make some changes to like how it resolves with the Green Knight, and the movie ends like slight small spoilers for like the end of the movie. It ends very ambiguously about like what's actually going to happen to him in the end of this contest.
I feel that makes sense though, right? Like,
I liked it. I thought it was great as someone who like hasn't read the book and like, was just like viewing it as like
very different
on its merit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think is really interesting about adaptation anyway, right? Like I have started doing the thing where like, I kind of want to see the movie before I go read the book because then I'm not jaded about it not doing what I wanted it to do.
No, absolutely. Us as booksellers, like, we have, like, I think this disposition to be like, but, you know.
But it's not the book. Yeah, exactly. And, like, I went back and forth on this, right? Like, I used to be the person, when I started working at the movie theater, I would go out and read all the stuff before I would go see movies because I wanted to, like, see it that way. And I was always let down. Every time.
Yeah.
Because you, like, go in with expectations.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's like a bad thing.
What is
most of the time the adaptation's going to have some shortcoming because they can't fit everything that the reader would want in a movie within.
Right. I try so hard to like look at it from both sides and just be like, oh man, like I get it. Like certain things are not gonna translate in a budgetable way. Right? Like
Right.
Especially with, like some of the, you know, like, comic adaptation stuff. Like, they do a really good job most of the time, but, like, it is damn near impossible to make some of that stuff happen in a way that doesn't, like, completely cut everyone's pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I will say there have been some adaptations, even recently, like Witcher, for example, where yeah. even if it's not the complete, and even though that they've changed the story a little bit, it still pays a good homage to the stories.
Oh my God. Definitely.
Well, I think that that's why Green Knight was so good.
Sorry. Speaking about good adaptations that deeply change things for the better.
Which one?
Invincible.
Yeah, Invincible was great.
The comic series is a lot slower paced, David told me. And then there's also, like, a lot more issues. Like, they changed the love interest girl to, one, have an actual personality. And two, like, she's not black in the comic.
Yeah.
And also, the wife doesn't, like, have suspicion or find out about, like, her husband for, like, way longer. And, like, doesn't have a realtor job, I think he had said. Like, basically has nothing, like, going on besides being, like, wife.
Yeah. And so, I really appreciated, like, the richness of those characters. Like,
yeah. I think it's great, especially because I do believe personally that if those characters had not had agency, then the superheroine would have been so much harder to like.
Yeah.
Because, like, why does she get to fucking say stuff, but the other women don't?
Definitely. Okay, we only have a few minutes and we have a lot of, like, other ones. So I'm just going to shout out stuff that I am excited about, I think, real quick. And I think the two that I'm most looking forward to on our list is Wheel of Time and The Last Duel. I haven't read the book The Last Duel is based on. I didn't realize it was a novel.
Yeah, me either. I thought it was, like, a historical drama.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I saw this trailer, like, not even having heard of this movie before, and I was like, oh my God, like, Michelle, look at it? Everyone who's in this movie.
No, I haven't.
Damn it.
I knew it was a book, but it's
from Eric Yeager, and it's a true story of trial by combat in medieval France.
I'm just one of those people that, like, even though I don't really want to know if he is guilty or not, or, like, if she's a liar, I still want to know. Like, I want to know.
Yeah.
Because, like, if it's really bad, like, I don't want to see it and get upset.
Wow, it tells the story of a very specific trial by combat, a duel that happened on December 29th, 1386.
Hey, man.
Real history. You can go look into this.
I'm just going to say it. David understands that if Adam Driver were to just miraculously show up, I'm not held responsible for my actions.
Very funny.
Speaking of him, I'm also really excited about House of Gucci.
Oh, yeah. House of Gucci looks great.
Yes.
House of Gucci looks great.
This is, like, our sixth time talking about it on the podcast. I will not stop. I will never stop. It's my two favorite celebrities, the only two I actually still hold any, like, sort of real passion for. If either of them do anything bad, I'm going to lose my mind.
But both of them together, and then their scenes individually. Oh, it's going to be so good. Oh, so good.
Like, the energy, the raw talent and dedication, both of them are, like, so furiously dedicated to their craft and to be being taken seriously in the acting world. Like,
yeah.
Honestly.
This was an indie film?
Yeah. Nice. Not indie, but
it's,
like,
from MGM.
Oh my God, no, it's not. It's not indie at all.
It's not.
Directed by Ridley Scott.
Is the book indie? Is that what we're thinking of?
Oh.
I don't know.
I think the book was not like a biopic style, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it properly. Sarah, I looked it up. What does it say? Sarah Gay Forden. A sensational story of murder, madness, glamour, and greed.
Fascinating.
What does that mean, David? He just messaged me, we named the dog Indiana.
That's a Indiana Jones reference.
Oh my god, as soon as you said that, he also typed it. I hate both of you.
Becca, you mentioned, have you started watching Why the Last Man?
Yes, I watched the first episode. Speaking of things that, in my opinion, did a really good job adapting, like, I haven't read the comic, but, like, from the things I've seen from it, like, and yeah, the quality of the first episode, like, I'm really interested to see how the quality stays throughout the rest of the season, because it felt like a really high budget premiere, and, yeah, like, usually it feels like most shows go the opposite way, right? Like, they put a little less of the budget into the premiere because, you know, premieres are usually not, like, the first episode of stuff is notoriously not usually good.
Yeah.
But this one was great.
Hail to Tuff.
I didn't remember what it was until all of the men started dying. Which is not a spoiler. It's literally in the trailer and the description.
It's in the trailer, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, I didn't remember. The last man. Yeah, I didn't remember what it was until, like, you know, that moment. And then I was like, oh,
yeah,
fuck. It's really good.
That's awesome. And then, yeah, Michelle, you added two to the list that I had missed. There's Someone Inside Your House and Nine Perfect Strangers.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's Someone Inside Your House looks so tense.
Yeah. So Stephanie Perkins is a young adult author who usually, at least in her early writing career, was romance, love stories, you know, great happy endings. And then she came out with this, and it was amazing. And I'm so excited for this adaptation.
I think it's awesome. Great. You know what? It scratches the same itch as Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or like I Know What You Did Last Summer, or like Scream, like very much that, like, ooh, it's great. I love it.
From the producers of Stranger Things and The Conjuring universe.
Yes.
Honestly, I don't know if you guys have seen any of the Conjuring stuff, but not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then Nine Perfect Strangers is a mini series that's going to be on Hulu.
Yeah.
And I don't trust this woman in this trailer at all.
Nicole Kidman, I trust her.
This whole situation seems like it could go very sideways. Like, there's part of me that looks at this trailer and is like, oh, like, this could be a movie about, like, people overcoming their traumas and, like, learning to accept themselves and whatever. But also, like, this could just be the beginnings of, like, a terrible horror story.
I need you both.
And I wouldn't know.
I need you both to look at the picture I've just added, and I need you to add it in for our listeners. This is the energy she's giving me. These photos are of her walking out of the courthouse after, right, like, signing the divorce papers for Tom Cruise.
Yes, I remember this.
And she just, like, face to the sun basking. And, like, that is absolutely, like, the vibe of her character in this trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that woman has nothing to lose, and I'm scared of her. Have either of you read the book? I'm not familiar with it, honestly.
It's a thriller
by
Leanne
Lane Moriarty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a thriller. That makes sense. Okay.
Yes, it is. But this gives me, it was another show back maybe early 2000s. It's called Harper's Island, where everyone vacations like witch hobnobby on an island. And then slowly, one by one, they start going. And that's this gives me. Same vibes.
Honestly, it also a little bit reminds me of Cabin in the Woods.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The way that, like, it looks like there's this, like, behind-the-scenes team, like, watching them the whole time. Like,
uh-huh.
And, like, taking, like, controlling the situation in this, like, large way. I think that's really interesting.
But Nicole Kidman herself, she's been in a lot of these type of psychological thriller type shows.
Yeah.
Like that one on HBO where you don't know if the husband, because the husband cheated, if he was the one who killed. What show was that on HBO? Like, she is a therapist.
The Undoing?
Yes. Thank you.
That sounds right.
That was a great show.
I was actually thinking of The Others, that horror movie she's in. Have you guys seen it?
No.
Yes, I have seen
I've seen the trailer.
Can I spoiler it?
Yes.
Yes. Please.
Okay, the whole thing about the movie is the entire time she is this deeply religious, devout woman, and her home is being, like, ravaged by a poltergeist, like, violently. And then in the end, you find out that she and her children are the ones that are dead. And
yeah, they're just, the ghosts haunting the house.
They're just, it's just people are trying to, like, get the house ready to, like, move into. And so because she doesn't understand that she's dead, she can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's crazy, like, the twist at the end of the, like, I recommend watching it, because even knowing
it's
that,
very good.
Like, the mm-hmm. moment she finds out, like, I don't, I wish horror movies got more Oscars, because she deserved it for that.
That's awesome. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Oh, my God, what else?
I didn't talk a lot about Wheel of Time, but I'm looking forward to it. I read those books, the Robert Jordan novels, when I was in high school.
Nice.
And there's 14 of them, so I don't know how long this show is going to be, or like how far season one is even going to get into the plot.
The trailer is so good.
The trailer is so cool. I love how like colorful it is. I'm really excited to see Rosamund Pike as I think her name is Moraine. She's like the head witch of the organization that she's from. It's a world in which only women can use magic.
The real
very
world.
Excited. But it's also, it's also
controversial.
Very like classic stereotypical like fantasy. It was very like nowadays I feel like if people read those books, it would feel kind of tropey because so many other things have like taken from it. But it's like the hero farm boy who's destined to save the world from the evil, great evil one who has like been plunging the whole world into darkness and magic and fantasy. I think their party has like a guy who can talk to animals and has like the rogue thief character
that
and has like
a
tinkerer.
Power.
And like they have a very stereotypical like D&D party organization, I feel like, in like the group that travels with them.
Guys.
You know? Yeah.
The Others is actually inspired loosely by Henry James's The Turn of the Screw.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I have not read The Turn of the Screw.
Some people also suggest that it's inspired by the real story that Turn of the Screw is based on.
Oh.
Like about the actual haunting.
Fascinating.
Ew. That sounds
good. Sorry to
cut
you off. David came through with another corrections corner.
Nice. Do the James Bond movies count as adaptations anymore?
No.
Not anymore.
I don't think so.
I feel like they're not like actually going off book scripts.
No.
I mean, Casino Royale very much just was an adaptation of one of the books, but that was... you know, four Bond movies.
Now that we're moving into James Bond no longer being this, like, consistently old white dude.
Yeah.
Like, and we're moving into, like, new Bond agents. Like, yeah, I don't think it's...
Yeah, I'm so curious.
Anymore.
I'm so curious about, like, what's going to happen. This is reportedly, like, his last outing as James Bond. And we don't know who's going to take up the mantle next.
Do you guys want to know a
female.
Fun fact?
Hmm? Yeah, go for it.
You know Tom Hiddleston?
Yes.
Yes, I know Tom Hiddleston.
Well, there used to be rumors that he might be James Bond, and he really wanted to be James Bond.
Yeah.
However, when he got the Loki series, and this is just all like rumor, it is rumored that there's a clause in it that he's not allowed to get any work done on his face, and like I guess like. Like people close to him have said like that he really wants to because he thinks he's getting old, but it's in his contract that as long as he plays Loki, he cannot be a Bond.
Wow,
interesting.
And I think that's so weird. I have no idea why. Just maybe because it would take up so much time, or
probably
right.
Yeah.
Again, all like rumor, but very interesting.
Very interesting. I would love to see him as a Bond.
Oh, yeah, I think that he could totally do it.
That'd be cool. Okay. We've gone over our time.
Yeah.
So I think we should wrap. But thank you for being here, Michelle.
Thank you.
I was
you
so
for
excited
me.
To go through all these trailers. Yeah. I'm sure we're going to do another one of these at some point, and we'll just bring you back. It'll
yeah,
be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am always here for it.
For folks listening, I'm going to include links for all the trailers that we talked about and also all the books that they're inspired by. So you can find those in the episode description. Thank you, as always, to Austin Farmer for allowing us to use the intro and our intro and outro music. That's cut from Kill the Farm Boy off his album Bookshelf Symphony Orchestra. And you can also find the show, not the show, you can also find the store on all social media platforms at Mist Galaxy Books. So check out, I think all those links are always in the episode description in every episode, so you can find us on all social media platforms there. And come back next week for minisode number 56.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that so aggressively. I'm sorry. Yeah.
All right. We'll see you again soon in a galaxy not so far away.